What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is another episode of That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down Podcast. I'm your host, Steven Daniels. And as I have each and every Tuesday night live right here, my first down guest, the handsome man, the one and only, the mass amazing individual, Mr. Josh Moser. What's up, Josh?
Man, you tee me up like that, man. You know, you got to buy me a drink first. Appreciate you.
So for those of you who don't know, Josh obviously has been covering the Dolphins for a few years now, and you know, look, it's the off season. There's a lot, you know, that hasn't been beaten with a dead horse. So there's some things that I think some of the fans want to know about you and covering the team, because I think sometimes there's a perception or common misconception that, you know, people that cover the team aren't allowed to say certain things or aren't allowed to do certain things. How is it to try when you cover a team to try to set yourself and be not part of the story and obviously bring the right information to the listeners or to the fans? Like, how has that been for you over the last few years?
I mean, it's simple. You just tell the truth. I think it's just being like any job. You need to show up. You need to be on time. You need to be accountable, and you need to build trust with, you know, your coworkers. And I think a lot of that in locker rooms, like the players have, it's relationships with one another, the ability to go up and to listen to these guys. And, you know, some of them say that they don't, you know, read articles. They don't watch you on TV. I can tell you that the PR staffs have people in place where they watch and record everything. They see everything that is written. It is their job. And then you obviously, like anybody in your own workplace, you get along with certain guys or women, you know, better than others. It's just, you have more in common. You have a same sense of humor, whatever it have you. And, you know, you get along really well with those people. And for me, I've been covering the NFL pretty much for almost 15 years now. I covered the Broncos all the way through their Super Bowl run with Super Bowl 50. Then I was with the Packers for 5 years. And now here I've been in Miami for 3 seasons. And, you know, as the more that you're around, it's a very small fraternity of people. And, you know, as soon as you lose that credibility or that trust, you're kind of on the outside. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will shoot you, you know, information just to see what you do with it. And, you know, it's all about being,
what are you going to do with this information? Now, let me ask you, when you are making a story, or in the past when you have made a story, obviously it's a little bit different being behind the sports desk at WSVN, but, you know, if you're covering a team and you have to, you know, make a story, how is it when you are telling it like it is, and maybe the player that you might have some sort of relationships with, like, really, dude, you had to put me out there? And I'm like, I told the story as it was. Like, I didn't, you know, do you get what I'm saying? Like, what happens in those kind of scenarios?
You have to tell the truth. So I think a lot of that is what happens before the story. So I covered a coach, and the coach was pulled over for a DUI. And I had a previous relationship with the coach. I would always say hello. And they know at that point it's out there. And then for me, I went up to this coach and I was just like, you know what? Hey, I would love to talk to me. We've had a relationship. We're going to do this the right way. And I pitched him an idea. And then he said, okay. And, you know, then they watched it. And it was great, but it was because of that previous relationship that I had.
Interesting.
And, you know, he chose me over others. Now, there's a difference between television people and writers.
Yep.
And everybody has their own style. And there are people that have different advantages. So, like a guy like Barry Jackson has been in the Miami market forever. And so he has all of these deep ties to agents and all of that. Like, just like I have the ties to Drew Rosenhaus, or the players that I've covered in other places, or, you know, whoever that I've come across. So you can go those back channels, you know, all of the time, which is your job as a journalist to get information out. It's the team's job to keep information in. And in a situation where, you know, you have a question, you can kind of go to the PR staff. So here's a really good example. Tyreek Hill's house caught on fire this past year. Do you remember that, Steven?
Yep.
So I'm at Dolphins practice and I get a phone call from my news station saying, hey, you know, we think this is Tyreek's house. You know, this is the address. This is this, you know, like, you need to let, you know, like, we're just passing this information on. I'm like, are you sure it's his house? Are we going with this? Like, we need to double, triple check. And instead of just putting anything out, I immediately rang up Ann Noland, who's the, you know, charge of PR for the Dolphins. She's the boss. And I messaged her and I'm like, hey, this is what the news station has. Let's handle this privately. It's like, I don't know if Tyreek knew. And then so by telling her and going about it behind the scenes, she was then able to alert her security team. They were able to independently verify the information. Then they were able to pull Tyreek out of practice. At that point, I was immediately able to get a hold of Drew, who represents Tyreek. He was able to get over there. Then there was a little bit of Twitter beef that occurred between Rick Ross and Tyreek. Rick Ross is his neighbor. You know, and at that time, there were minors in the house who set the house on fire. You know, his mom was there. And, you know, I was able to keep enough information private so that it wouldn't affect, you know, Tyreek and his wife as, you know, much as possible. And I think it's just doing right by people. And I'm never the type of person to try to make my name off of somebody else. Like, there's people out there. I remember who was the pitcher for the Brewers, the closer. Oh, he was with San Diego.
I know you're
afterwards.
Trevor.
The lefty.
I know who you're talking about.
A blonde guy, but he made his like first All-Star game, and then right as it got announced, they found like a racist tweet from him from like 10 years ago.
15 years ago. It was like 15 years.
Yeah, I remember that. Not Hoyer, Boyer. I'll think of it in a minute. But yeah,
it's not Trevor Bauer.
No,
it's not Trevor.
Stuff like that. Like, come on, man. Like, if you ever played a sport, like I would never do something like that.
All right. So look, there's a reason I brought this up, right? Because it seems like every few months, Tyreek's obviously in this news cycle. And we as Dolphin fans, every offseason for the last decade, Josh, there seems to be some sort of off-field incident. And look, I understand January through like April, there's this kind of, you know, off period with the NFL. And so you have a job to cover the team every day. You have a job to report the news. But part of your job takes place in the relationships that you make inside of the clubhouse sometimes.
Yeah.
And so there's that fine line. And the reason I ask that is because Dolphins Twitter for the last 24 hours is like, why are people coming? Like, and here's the other thing too. We talk about headlines, right? Like TMZ is all about just the headlines. And they don't, and then you read the story and you're like, hold up, this is not what the headline says. You know, it's clickbait. So I brought the conversation up because I think there's a common misconception of reporters, beat writers, YouTubers, right? You know, people like myself, and how that kind of world coexists with relationships with the players and the team.
It changes. Yeah, the pitcher, Josh Hader.
That's it. You're right.
Hader. But I believe if you scroll through Javon Holland's Twitter, it wasn't too long ago, maybe like a week ago, like, you know, he called out the fans like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, we had Jeff Wilson Jr. on the show that, you know, we were able to get on here. And, you know, he talked about, I don't listen to fans. And
that's,
you know,
that's easier said than done, right?
It is. But, you know, you have to do what works best for you as an individual. You know, Braxton Berrios is another guy, and I'm not going to talk about his personal life, but the entire world is. You know, he just wants to play football. So there's that element to it. You know, there's a few players here from Miami that played with Russell Wilson in Seattle, and they're just like, we can't relate to the guy. You know, he's in a completely different world than us. You know,
so what is things. So where is that line? Where does that line exist, Josh? What is personal? And what is news? And is there a line or at all?
Yeah, in this day and age, I think everything is news. You know, everybody wants to know the behind the scenes. And I mean, look, if you look at my social media, I keep it all business related simply because it's my personal choice to keep my personal life private. And if there's something personal that I would like to bring up, I would like to be the one to do it.
Like if you're a bad golfer, you know, you would say.
Yeah, then you find that out. But, you know, catch me at the Pro-Am at the LIV Golf Tour, so that'll be streamed. So people are going to find out. But
just so you guys know, watching, every time I text Josh and it's his off day, I'm like, where are you at? At the golf course. At the golf course.
And hey, man, when you live in South Florida, you better be on the golf course and you better be on the beach. You know, you
got to enjoy it. Or on a boat.
On the boat. Yes.
Yep. No, look, I think it was a fair conversation to have just because there's a lot of news cycles that happen this time of year.
Honesty. And sometimes it's hard as a journalist. Like, you've got a lot of aggregators out there and they're getting a lot more clicks than us, but they've built up this fan base and, you know, people are able to relate to them. But well,
there used to be a time where you have to get something cited by three different sources. Feel like now that's out the window. People don't care about that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's where credibility as a journalist differentiates you from a Twitter warrior and or a Twitter journalist or an ex-journalist, whatever you want to refer to it as. Mm-hmm. You know, these men and women can say whatever they want and they face no repercussions. Are you telling me they would say the same thing if they had to stare that person in the face the next day?
No way.
So, you know, look, but I mean, everything serves a place, right? Like, at the end of the day, what is the NFL? It is entertainment. It is content that is to be consumed by people for, you know, pleasure. That's what watching sports is. Fandom, everything that comes with it.
But do I need to know that X player has five different children from five different women? Or that, you know, or do I need to know that, you know, this person, you know, was arrested last night for drunken disorderly when, you know, he was at a bar? Like, I don't know what is news and what is fair and what is not fair.
So my answer to that is, like, your personal life is personal. And unless you want to talk about it, if you would like to share, you know, those personal stories, obviously those are the ones that everybody wants to hear because they want to be able to relate to the player. And a lot of these fans think that these players are their friends, you know, that they know them. And especially, you know, it gets a little dangerous sometimes when, you know, you talk about fantasy football and, you know, I've had a couple of players come up to me and they're like, yeah, we had a couple situations where we needed security. I've had situations where I've needed security and, you know, there are real lives. There are real people, you know, at the end of this, and we're all, you know, humans. But, you know, a friend of mine, you know, we're going to probably have him on the show here soon, is MVS, the former Kansas City Chiefs receiver. Yep. I mean, when he was dropping passes, this man's getting death threats. And is that okay? In my opinion, absolutely not. And so, you know, and a lot of times too, we're seeing, you know, coaches and players break their own news. Like, they don't need somebody like me.
Well, that's anymore. The they other can, thing. So that was the other part platform. Of this, right? So now we got players have their own podcast, right? Yeah. And so I'll give you a fine example, right? I'm a huge mental health guy. I think mental health is big. My name is Spread Kindness, Positivity, and Love. That's part of my social media handle. But I've always been a big fan of Ron Artest, right? And just his background and the as far as his story is concerned, it's a very unique, very great story. The NBA didn't have a lot of stuff for mental health, but after the Malice in the Palace and after the situation, you look at Draymond Green now going through everything that he went through in the NBA. He's saying Adam Silver's basically making sure I get the right help. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago when it was Ron Artest, it was he's a black guy on the league. He's horrible individual X, Y, and Z. But now, Ron would always say, I never had a chance to get my story out there. Well, now these players have an opportunity through Twitter, through Instagram, through podcasting. They can get their own side of the story out.
Right. And I think that's, you know, a positive of social media. And you look at, you know, Raheem Mostert's got his own podcast and it's, you know, a way that you can control the message. When I was at USC, when Pete Carroll was there, he was really the first one to come up with this idea. And then he ran with it. And a friend of mine, Ben Malcolmson, has basically been with him his entire career in Seattle. And, you know, he was kind of the right-hand man to keep him plugged in. And now we're seeing the NFL go to streaming services. We saw a first playoff game on Peacock, trying to bring in a new audience. So
I think Amazon gets it this year. Amazon gets it this year, too.
Yeah, and now, you know, for me, I'm 37. You know, I'm not great at TikTok, but there's a lot of fans that are relating to NFL players on TikTok. And, you know, we saw what Kay Fitz did with Tyreek before the NFL pulled his credentials. Yep. So it's about the NFL's realizing, you know, you need to reach a broad band of consumers. Obviously, the Taylor Swift effect. And you have to put your content where people are going to view it. We're seeing it in TV. You know, no one's really watching the local news anymore. They're watching it on their phone. They're getting an alert. They're watching a streaming service where you don't have to watch commercials anymore. And my entire business is based off of selling commercials and advertising. So it's how do we pivot? How do we be involved with the trends? And I mean, if you look at the NFL, you just saw the salary cap just jump 13%, you know, over $30 million.
That's so insane, by the way, the jump that it had this
year.
And now the right effect of marketing and media.
Yeah, now you've got betting involved that's bringing in a lot of additional revenue wherever you stand on that, you know. So I would say that this is the most interesting time in the NFL simply because of how it's being consumed, what's available, where you're getting it from, and then the personalities of the players where they can kind of, you know, speak their minds and they can do whatever they want to do. But as a player, you know, I also wouldn't want to live under a rock. When I lived in Green Bay, here's a great story. Aaron Rodgers had to sell his house in Green Bay because the homeowners association would not allow him to put up a fence and a gate in front of his front door. And that man had fans knocking on his front door. So he had to move. And can you blame the guy? Like, how ridiculous is that?
That's
to me, that is a ridiculous story. I mean, that man couldn't go to the grocery store. He'd get mocked. And then if you want to go further in Green Bay, if you're a good-looking young black man, the perception was, I think there was 98% white people in Green Bay, that people just assumed that you were a Packer player. Like, that's crazy that, you know, That's the other side of it.
It's totally weird when you go to different parts of the country, you cover a professional sports team and you see the realities of the outside world of covering that team. And you're exactly right. I've been to Green Bay. Let me tell you. Yes, you are 100% correct in that number.
and like here, you know, a lot of these football players, you know, granted, it's a little bit difficult when you're Tua. Or, you know, if you're a basketball player who's 6'8", you're just going to stand out in a crowd. But these hockey guys, they love living here because there's so many other superstars here that they go unnoticed. They can have
Jeremy Taché could literally go out to the bar, and I bet you 65, maybe even 75% of people would have no idea who he is.
No. And I mean, you know, it just depends on the lifestyle that you want to live and what you're comfortable with. A lot of people seek the lights. Others don't. Others want to have a family. So it's really up to the individual. And now there's so many opportunities. But during the season, you know, you saw it on Hard Knocks. We kind of got a little bit of a behind the scenes view. But it is very much about protecting the team, protecting the locker room. And, you know, there's a lot that happens in locker rooms. And there's it needs to stay there. And those stories will come out once the players are done playing, and, you know, the fans will live for those stories, but that's when the players are able to talk about it.
You know, it's funny that you talk about different stories and things that are, you know, locker room sensitive. And when I say the word sensitive, I mean, there's certain things that are just part of locker room culture, good, bad, or indifferent. Right. Sure. So for example, I'm a big NASCAR fan wearing the Bubba Wallace stuff. I'm watching the race today. No, I'm watching the race on Sunday, and you can, for $4.99, you can buy this NASCAR pass to listen to the spotter and the driver talk to each other during the race. Mm-hmm. Bubba cusses out his spotter in the middle of him driving at, you know, however many miles an hour. You didn't get access to that a couple, you know, years ago. I say that because you go to Twitter and everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe Bubba cussed out his spotter on the radio. You go listen to all the other spotters on the radio. A lot of them do it. And you translate that to the NFL, there were plenty of times that I've heard stories about Dan Marino cussing out people in the huddle and after the play. And it was just part of the locker room culture, but people didn't have the access that they had today. You didn't have mic'd up stuff that you had 25 years ago. Or if you did it, there was an NFL Films knew what they were allowed to put out and not allowed to put out.
Like, imagine, I love Marshawn Lynch. I think the guy's great. But, you know, after his career, you found out, I mean, he was taking, you know, one, two shots of Hennessy before every game. Imagine if it got out when he was playing that this dude is drinking before a game. I mean, he would have been roasted, and there was nothing the league could have done to protect him. So, you know, it is what it is. But I actually have a Dolphins question that I want to ask you, and I think this is a cool topic. Is how would you grade Chris Greer's free agency class? Because in the beginning, fans and everybody was lighting him up. But now that this is taking shape, how do you feel?
Well, it's kind of funny. I did a show on clock blockers and after Monday, and the title of the show was Black Monday. You know, it was bleak, right? It looked bleak. We didn't know what was going to happen. By Friday afternoon, we're like, okay, Chris Greer's doing something. And now we're sitting here and we're like, this is a pretty good free agency class. This is not bad. Like, I'm enjoying what, like, he had a plan. I'm not saying it was the plan I would have executed. I'm not saying I wouldn't have tried to retain a little bit harder Andrew Van Ginkel, Jerome Baker. But the fact of the matter is, Greer has a plan, and he's sticking to it, and he's executing to it. The other thing that I find very interesting, too, is I think we have about, what, $5 million in cap space right now? Man, just wait till that post-June 1st check clears, boy, because they're going to have $30 million, and they'll be able to go after more people. And so I don't think we're done. I don't think we're done. Yeah.
And I mean, look, you've got to pay your draft class. They have a draft pick in every round this year. This is their first full draft class that they've had in a long time. And then you're always wanting to go into the season because you can always sign somebody. Like, we've seen them pick up Melvin Ingram last couple of years. There's always money that you need to extend a player during the season. And, you know, they're in a good spot. And then if they re-sign Tua here to an extension, that'll create a lot more cap space because they're going to give him money up front, and then that's more flexibility. It's just, can Bradley Chumb and Jalen Phillips return to who they were, and when can they do it? And if those two can come back, you know, I still think that this team is the favorite in the AFC East.
I you know, looking around the rest of free agency in the league or in the division, you know, let's start in New England. They didn't do anything to help themselves in any way, shape, or form. They traded away Mac. The best thing they did was trade away Mac Jones. Like, seriously. Like, I think that was the best thing.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, look, they've got the third overall pick. So, it looks like they're probably going to take Drake May. If he's there. You know, we'll see if the guy from LSU is there.
Jaden Daniels. Yep. So, they're going quarterback. Gerard Mayo has to go quarterback there, right? And then the Jets. I mean, they're the Jets. I just feel like every decision they make is the wrong one.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we'll see how healthy Aaron Rodgers can be. I mean, we saw what they were when he wasn't there. So, I mean,
but they try to overpay for players and have been consistently denied. Tyreek, if I'm correct, Jets had a bigger contract.
They did.
And nope. And if I'm correct, there, McCole Hardman, that whole situation gives such a black eye to that organization of the Jets, because he pretty much said, this is ridiculous the way they run their franchise there. And that was, he wasn't even there a full season at that point.
I mean, look at Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook could have gone anywhere he wanted, but it all changes when you don't have a quarterback. And that's it.
Zach Wilson, baby. It's all about Zach.
That was a miss, you know. Like, I loved him when he was banging MILFs. It seemed like he had an edge to it. People loved the storyline. And then now all of a sudden, you know, it changes and he has a bad game and everybody's like, forget this guy. You never existed. I don't care that you went to BYU. I don't care that this.
That's the New York market though, right?
Totally.
But at the same time,
You need a player that can exist in that market. Like, Buffalo or Green Bay or Cleveland. Like, you need players that want to be there, that are going to live there, and, you know, that will buy in. It's hard. Like, those are different markets. Like, you have to find a certain type of player.
So, all right, let me ask you, from a salary cap and draft perspective and free agency, right? We address some issues. Yeah. There's two ways of thinking what we should do at 21. At Raylan Foster on Twitter, at Raylan Foster, tweeted at us. And he goes, name at least one realistic wide receiver at pick 21 that could flourish right away in McDaniel's system. I just want to say before you answer that, if the Dolphins draft a wide receiver at 21, I will lose my mind.
This is a very, very deep draft class at wide receiver. To me, there's no reason to even think about a wide receiver. You have so many other team needs. To me, I love the center out of Oregon. And if he is there, I would almost consider trading up to get him, because then you can move Brewer over. You could move Liam over. It gives you all that versatility because you do have to replace Rob Hunt. Now, right now, this team signed like four defensive tackles. Are they Christian Wilkins? No.
No.
But did they moneyball this thing? Absolutely. And can they find an impact big guy that can move? We'll see who's there in the
draft. Do I care how he gets on base, Josh?
No. I know you don't.
You do not.
You do not care how he gets on base. You just hope that he stays healthy and that he causes havoc. That's all that you can hope. But I mean, if you want to talk about wide receivers, you've obviously got Tyreek and Waddle. Yep. You know, people forget about Eric Azukama, who was a high draft pick and who can fly when healthy. Can he be something?
He hasn't turned,
but he's on the
roster. Out on him,
but he's on the roster, right? So you're going to find out. Remember, he's here. You just brought back Braxton Berrios, who can, is your return guy. He can play in the slot. So
is Michael Thomas coming here or Hunter Renfro?
We'll see.
But I feel like that's the smart
move. But that could be a draft. Like, is that a draft day? Do you trade your number one to go get one of these guys? I don't, because you have to consider the cap. But once the money from Xavier Howard clears, I think you're going to have a lot more room. And then there's
only two acceptable answers at 21, an offensive lineman or trading back and grabbing more trade assets. Yeah. You do anything else, in my opinion, with the exception of maybe a pass rusher, like, it's unacceptable to me.
I mean, you forget, you just signed Jonnu Smith, and Jonnu Smith had the most yards after catch average of any tight end in the league. The other tight end that was hurt with the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill loves him, raves about him. You got him for a bargain. You still have Durham Smythe, who's a solid player. And then you still have Julian Hill, who was a great find, diamond in the rough. And if he can turn into something,
Daniel still likes him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you have pieces. And then, so remember, you still have Achane, you still have Mostert, you still have Wilson. So
what about a power back? You think that's free agency?
Chris Brooks can do it. It's just a matter of, if they're going to give him an opportunity. I mean, he is that piece and he's on the roster. So we'll see what happens, but you always talk and you hear from GMs, your two to your three is the biggest jump. So you have to have these guys take a jump, and you need Brooks to take a jump. You need Cam Smith to take a jump. You need Channing Tindall to find the field. You need these people to start contributing. And if not, you've got all of these rotational guys that are in there. And then you hope that one of them can pop off and have like an Andrew Van Ginkel year, like he really shined last year and then he got paid for it.
He did. He definitely got paid.
He could be special. You hope that Nick Needham can come back healthy and play. And you hope that Cater, who regressed after a great season, can come back and play.
I have no inside information on this, but I have to think that Nick Needham had a conversation with Greer and or Anthony Weaver, a combination of both, and basically said, last year when Fangio was here, I got 2 to 3 snaps a game. I can't be effective for you guys if I'm only playing 2 to 3 snaps a game. Sure. And the year prior, he was one of the top nickel corners in all of the NFL, if not maybe the best nickel corner in the NFL, right? I don't think I'm exaggerating saying that. And I know he had offers from other places. So they had to have said, yes, we're going to utilize you. You will be more utilized in this defense under Anthony Weaver. That had to have been said.
Of course. And I think that was a reason why he chose to stay. We'll find out. But look, I mean, is this roster better than it was at the end of the season? Look, you can't replace Christian Wilkins. So you're going to have to figure out what to do.
What about in the aggregate, the way you said? Does a combination of four of those guys
work? Is Fuller an upgrade over Xavier Howard on paper?
100%. 100%.
So. Is Brooks an upgrade over Jerome Baker? I think so. He's younger.
I think they cancel each other out.
But that was a good move. If Shaq Barrett, similar to Andrew Van Ginkel?
Yeah, 100%.
So, A-Run, you spell it Aaron, but it's pronounced A-Run Brewer.
A-Ron.
Yeah, what can he be? A-Ron, great skit. But if you look at it collectively, this team is kind of like right back where they were with a lot less salary cap. And now you add Jonnu Smith. They didn't have a weapon like that. So, I think this team is right there in the mix. I think the Bills lost a lot, and we'll see. And then it's whatever, we'll find out what the Jets can do. But that AFC North, as we've talked about, is a gauntlet, and you just hope that they can beat up on each other, and then you just hope that the Dolphins can stay healthy. And they should be right back there in the playoffs, and let's hope first time in 24 years that we get a playoff win.
I would love to see a playoff win. It would be a lot of fun. And I know you would have a lot of fun covering one. I'm sure it would be a lot of fun to cover a South Florida playoff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot. You know, we was on the road last year with the Heat, was on the road last year with the Panthers. You know, saw Messi win the Gold Cup or the League's Cup, which, you know, means nothing. But, you know, it's playoffs is different. But, I mean, this team's got a taste. There's no more excuses. Tyreek Hill said that. I mean, they've been there. They know what it's like. Tua experienced his first playoff game. You know, they just put themselves in a bad position seeing the Chiefs when they did. You know, it all goes back to that Titans game. And then, you know, then you don't even have to play anybody against the Bills in Week 18. But, you know, it is what it is. And, yeah, I think this team is there. And, I mean, they know that it's kind of a rebuilding year, but this is the time. You know, Stephen Ross is getting older. He'll spend the money. I wouldn't be surprised if we get this Tua thing done before the start of the season. And, you know, you just hope again that Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips can be back to what they were.
Hey, real quick, that's the last thing we'll talk about real quick, because that news, there's rumors. They might be on the field.
No, rumors to report. Yeah, Chris Perkins is good. I mean, look, I've talked to both Bradley. I've talked to Jalen. I just saw Jalen. And, you know, they're working. And there are recovery modalities that will speed up the recovery process. And you can use laser therapy, which a lot of – that's how Adrian Peterson got back from the ACL in 6 months. You know, there are peptides that a lot of people take, you know, that are allowed by the league in recovery. You know, a lot of fighters use them in MMA to get healthy in between fights. It's called BP-157 is a specific peptide that is, you know, very commonly used. So there are a lot of things at their disposal, and they're working. And, you know, Jalen's playing for a contract. He was a first-round pick. He's on the same deal as Waddle. They're going into year four with an opportunity to get an extension or be, you know, have their fifth-year option picked up. And, you know, and Bradley got the $100 million deal. And so, you know, I mean, arguably he was having his best season as a pro before he tore his ACL. So if these guys can get back and now you have an upgraded, you know, middle linebacking core, you know, and if they can get a body or two up front and they stay healthy on the back end, you know, this defense should have enough. And then with Tua and Tyreek and the number one offense in the NFL, you think that you should be able to score more points than the other team. And that's really all you have to do.
All right. Well, look, what do you got coming up? Where can the people find Josh Moser?
We got owners meetings actually in Orlando coming up this next weekend. So okay. I will be there. Monday morning. I'll be there Sunday night and Monday morning next week, so we can talk about that on next week's show. And now we're kind of down the home stretch here of the regular season for both the Heat and the Panthers. Obviously, it was just Selection Sunday, so we've got a lot of college basketball happening. And, yeah, we got Marlins opening day coming up on the 28th. It's flying by. So
it's coming quick. South
Florida Sports keeping me busy.
No doubt about that. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys go follow Josh Moser at the Mose Knows, because look, he knows everything. Okay, so make sure you guys check him out. You guys can follow me at Stephen D. SKPL, spread kindness, positivity, and love. We are here each and every Tuesday night right here on Dolphins Talk. Make sure you guys hit the like button, subscribe. Until the next time, we'll see you on That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down.
Yeah.